You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from our guest speaker.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ashley Ellison. I'm pastor of Christian Ministries Church, and I love Christian Ministries. I just want you to know that this church has been such an example to my family, to a bunch of people that you don't even know in Southwest Missouri. My daughter and son-in-law both lived down here and were a part of this church for a season, Kenan Sims and Tristan. And I'm excited to tell you that they are going to make me a grandpa for the third time in February. And so my wife wasn't able to be here because last night somebody had to be at my oldest granddaughter celebrated her second birthday last night. And so family is just going great. Everything's wonderful in Missouri. The church is growing by leaps and bounds. And it's just, I thank you. Really, I'm here to say thank you. Christian Ministries, I appreciate what you have done. You've set a great example. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. I'm excited to be here today. I would tell you all about what's going on up there, but it's just the same thing that's happening here. So you'd be hearing me just talk about you. I want to talk about the Word today. I have a lot of scripture. I love that the video was playing right before we got started, because my heart is that I want to encourage God's people. I want to encourage you. You have a purpose. You have a call upon your life. We're not here just for the excitement. Now, the excitement's fun, but we're here to get equipped. We're here for some equipping, and I'm ready today to do all I can to equip the body of Christ to go out and do the work of the ministry. If you have your Bibles, you can turn this morning. We'll start with 1 Peter. We'll be doing a lot of Bible runs. Our scripture this year that we have as the theme of our church, a holy generation, you probably have it memorized, or at least you know exactly what 1 Peter is talking about because we've talked about it all year. Before I start, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask your blessing to be upon everything said and done today. Let it be an encouragement to your people. God, I pray that you'd guard the words that come out of my mouth, that you would speak exactly through me what you have today for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. That scripture came alive to me this year, and a real excitement got in me because I am all about figuring out a new understanding of the Word. And I've got to tell you that for years I traveled with a group, a singing group, and we sang in churches all across the country. And I loved it. It was a great time. But I got to be in a lot of different denominations. And one of the denominational churches we were in was the Holiness Church. And that was actually in the South. There's a lot of churches that just went by the word holy or holiness. And we would go to these churches. And to be honest, I was a little concerned about this scripture, because what I knew about the movement that used this verse as their model and everything they did, they were a little different. Now, they believed in a born-again experience, and so they were evangelical in their move, and they were excited about sharing the gospel, but in a lot of ways, it was restrictive, and it had to do with dress codes and different things, and I just don't really know about all this. I'm kind of a jeans guy, and I it's hard for me to understand all that, so we started diving into it. The problem I had was I knew it from a man's perspective, not God's perspective. And so the more that I started studying what God had for us this year, a lot of scripture came to life, and I realized that the scripture did this. It freed you up to really be all that God called you to be. Another scripture that came to mind was in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Very similar. You're to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. You've read this scripture your whole life, but I want you to listen to it different today. And I want you to listen to the word perfect in here. Philippians 3, verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Verse 15 says, let all who are perfect or spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. The same word, perfect there. I love this word because it's something that as you start studying it, you realize that man has messed this up. We all the time as Christian people will misuse this word perfect. Paul says, I haven't reached it. I haven't reached perfection. But yet he's saying that we are to be perfect. If we're going to be spiritually mature, then we're also perfect, depending on which translation you read. And those are the only ones that can agree on these things. Those that are perfect. Okay. But what do we do when someone comes and says, but nobody's perfect? How many times have you heard someone say that? I have a lot. Come on, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. When do they say that? They say that right after they've messed up. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, what you're saying is nobody's perfect, and so therefore I'm not, and I've got an excuse to not be perfect. But yet the Bible says you're to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And Paul said, let all who are perfect agree on these things. And then I like what he said. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. Here's kind of where I'm at. If we don't get an agreement this morning, I don't care. Really? Yeah, I believe God will make it plain to you. That's not my job. It's his. And I believe God will make it plain to you. If we're both seeking God, I believe he's going to make it plain to you. You'll get it. You'll get it. And as we study the word and we get in maturity, you know, people that argue the word, I just oftentimes, the more I'm around, they're arguing. I just realize how spiritually immature they are. And the Bible says we're supposed to be spiritually mature so we can get in agreement. We've got some work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work. Nobody's perfect. The problem with that is it implies that nobody can be. And if the application of that phrase is, well, nobody can be perfect, and the Bible says we're to be perfect, there's a problem. There's a problem. We have to understand what the Bible is saying, because there's a lot of scriptures that talk about perfection, and we're commanded to it. The word perfect means to be complete, to develop to its end, to finish into full maturity, to be without blemish. The word perfect means to be holy, to be all in, to be everything God has called you. Oh man, this is tough, because we're here today and we would all be in agreement that the reason we're here is because of Jesus. And he sets the example of perfection. I mean, he had a perfect prayer life. His ministry was perfect. His attitude was perfect. He responded perfect and he listened perfect. And I think about that, because wouldn't it be nice if a bunch of Christians would just listen perfect? From a preacher's standpoint, I can tell you it'd be tough. It's tough sometimes, because you know it ain't nobody listening to what you're saying. You're talking and they're just nodding, but they ain't there. What? But when you get someone who, I'm looking around right now and I'm going, we got a lot of perfection in here. All eyes, Jesus had the ability to do everything perfect, and God has called us to perfection. But here's what you need to hear. Not perfect in knowledge, not perfect in flesh, but perfect in heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's what I want you to get when I'm talking about perfection today. I'm talking about a matter of the heart. Your heart can be perfect every day of your life. You said, I want to sign up for Christianity. I want to be a Christian. I want to ask the Lord to forgive me of my past sin. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead and I'm saved. And so I have a heart towards God. And that heart that you have towards God means that every day of your life you're committed to Christianity. So I'm all in my heart. But that doesn't mean that your mind and your flesh doesn't occasionally have a little mess up. Or, oh, what did I just do here? What did I just... Okay, get your heart, my heart's in tune with God, and my flesh and my head sometimes gets... We get wrong thinking. We get things that we mess up. But your heart can be wholly given to Him. I believe that's why in Scripture, when He talks about being either hot or cold, because He don't want you half-hearted. He wants you all in. He wants you all in. You want your heart all in. 1 Samuel 16:7. God doesn't see things the way man sees it. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them, it says. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord, praise God, looks at the heart. God sees it different. Perfection is not a place, it's a pursuit. And when your heart is all in, then you are in a pursuit. And in that pursuit, you are seen as perfect. I'm like, that's really cool. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say, not anyone can get through a day without sinning. Well, I want to challenge you to think different. Have you ever tried it? Well, no one can do it. So once again, no one's perfect. And the problem with that is if no one's perfect, then there's no reason to try. Let's give some work to what we're called to do. Come on, let's put some effort in. Why don't you get up tomorrow and say, or maybe haven't messed up yet today, and say, I'm going to get through today and I'm not going to sin. We just think that we can't do it. But my question is, have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried just to get through a day? We got to quit making excuses. Come on, as a church, we've got a responsibility. God is looking for a heart that is in tune with Him. Hebrews chapter 12. As you're turning there, let me talk about Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is just, it's one of the favorite chapters for a faith church in the Bible. I mean, the faith, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Noah, by faith, Sarah. You just go on and on, and you're seeing what all these men in God, by faith, did all of these things. You know what? I come down here to Hot Springs, and I say, by faith, Hetty Lou Brooks. By faith, Tim. I'm amazed. I know some men and women of God that's still operating as they did in Hebrews 11, and they're operating by faith, and by faith, they're going to move things, and their faith, they're going to do this, and by faith. And so when we get to Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, therefore, in verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, you can read all about 11 and see who all these witnesses are. But I can also point out some other witnesses that we're surrounded by that live life by faith. Come on, you can name names of people who are just faith people. They just live by faith. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Since we have so many examples of the life of faith, they have obviously did this. And the words here are telling us that we can look at them and say, we can do that. We've got so many others that did. You can do this. Well, what can you do? You can strip off the weight that slows you down, especially sin. And then it says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Here's what I'm not reading in this passage. It doesn't say, God's going to run the race. God's going to strip off this. It says, let us. We have some work to do in this process. Let us strip this off. Let us get rid of this. Let us run with endurance. Now, He does that because He's not going to do all the development. That's our part. The reason you're here this morning is to get developed, to get equipped, to go out. Let us strip this off. Let us do this. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the one who initiates and perfects our faith. You know, our righteousness does not need perfected. You ever thought about it? Our righteousness don't need perfected. Because we're in right standing with God because of Jesus. But our faith needs perfected. Our faith needs perfected. It goes on to say, because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Well, when you think about that, all that Jesus had to deal with as you read about, then, when you think about that, then you won't get weary and give up. After all, you haven't given your lives and your struggle against sin. Without Jesus, you can't perfect your faith, but you have a part in the process. You have a part in the process. Verse 5, have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. I love this verse because as we grow up, we hear all the time, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. In fact, it's one of the first Christian songs that we start singing as a child. Jesus loves me. Well, why do you sing that? Because we want people to know Jesus loves you. But you know what you never hear? Jesus whips you. Jesus whips me this time. Takes something away from it, doesn't it? For those Jesus loves, he disciplines. Now, I'm saying whip because that's the way it's said a little up north. Down here, it's whoop. Whoop. You know, you don't get a whipping down here. You get a whooping. Well, anybody ever been whooped? I know that's not probably what happens anymore in our day and age, but it might be good to look at some. Anyway. Verse 7. As you endure his divine discipline, man, we are a generation that won't endure anything. As we endure, there's an endurance that has to take place. When you've been messing up, endure his divine discipline. Remember that God's treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Now, that was written a long time ago. We all know children that's not disciplined by their parents now. But at that day and time, that was the normality. Kids were disciplined by their father. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you're illegitimate and not really his. Verse 9, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. You know what that tells me is? They don't get it just right all the time. They do the best that their knowledge would allow them. But keep in mind, our perfection in knowledge is not what he's talking about. He's talking about a perfection in heart. Their heart was sold out to you being their kid, and they were doing the best they knew how. Come on, lighten up a little bit. Lighten up a little bit on your dad. Boy, I wish my dad would have done. Do the best that he knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us. God doesn't mess up. And you know why he doesn't mess up? You said that I wanted to be his child. You gave your heart and life to Jesus. You got saved and said, I'm all in with my heart. And he is going to discipline you for your good so that you can share, it says, in his holiness. How are we going to be holy as he is holy? We're going to endure the discipline that's needed to take us to the level that's going to produce what he wants in us. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Amen, amen, amen. No discipline is enjoyable when it's happening. It's painful. It's painful. It hurts. It's not fun. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame won't fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Well, we got to get to a place where we understand the word holy. Those who aren't holy won't see the Lord. Has anyone here ever needed correction? Yeah, all of us, if honest, would say, yeah, obviously we have needed correction. But then we'll hear a parent say to a child, honey, you're just perfect the way you are. And anybody that hears someone says that's always going, no, they're not. You're just perfect the way that, you're just perfect the way you are. What? If that were true, then you wouldn't need to develop and grow. You'd be done. You had arrived. But there's a process. There's a process. God loves us. And because of that love, he corrects us. See, love tells you the truth even when it's not desired. That's what love does. It may bring out some frustrations, but know this, the truth is what sets you free. And people are in bondage because they're not willing to let themselves be corrected. It may step on your toes. It may be painful, but come on, it sets you free. It gives you a new understanding. It will allow you to become more in tune with Him. Change is necessary for us to grow. And for us to grow, as change happens, it produces in our life. And all of that happens through correction. It happens through correction. It happens day in and day out through correction. Does God love you? Yeah, He's going to whoop you. Now, I'm using whoop in a kind of... He's going to correct you. He's going to correct you. You're going to need corrected if you're going to walk in the love of God. Because the Lord loves, and those He loves, He corrects. But here's the thing. The enemy causes people to despise correction. And I have been there. And I think if we were all honest, we'd be like, I am not going to get corrected. I mean, we see those commercials of Charmin where the child's putting all the stuff in. That's maybe old school. Maybe some of you don't ever remember that. You know, they're getting ready to get whooped and they're trying to get some toilet paper in there. Charmin's the only thing that works. And so they put that, I think that was, anyway, they're going to whip this child. Well, I don't want it. I despise correction. I don't want it. You know what Jesus did? He despised the shame and went to the cross. And He's saying, that's what we've got to despise the shame and go, okay, I'm going to endure this and I'm going to get it what out of it, what's going to produce for me. The purpose of correction is to get you clean. The purpose of correct, because sin stains things. We were singing it earlier, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. What a song right before this message. Sin stains. Sin dirties things up. Sin messes things up. And what correction does is it gets it clean. It gets it clean. The definition of holiness is cleanliness. Cleanness. Cleanness. We got to get clean. Now, we would all be in agreement here. Jesus, the Lamb of God, without blemish. No, without any blemish. There's nothing distorted, nothing unclean in Him. Turn to John 13. As you're turning there, hours from this passage, He will be giving His life. A real special time occurring here before Jesus leaves. In John 13, verse 1, says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to His Father. He had loved His disciples during His ministry on earth, and now He loved them to the very end. It's time for supper. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything, and that He had come from God and would return from God, return to God. So He got up from the table, took off His robe, wrapped a towel around His waist, and poured water into a basin. Then He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that He had around Him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, oh, Simon, Simon, Simon. Jesus came to Simon Peter. Peter said to Him, Lord, are You going to wash my feet? He was perceptive. You going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing. I get that. But someday you will. Someday you'll get that. And then in verse 8, no, Peter protested. You'll never, ever wash my feet. Have you ever told Jesus no? You might not have just said no, but you said no. Right here, Peter says, no, you'll never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to Me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Peter always had a better idea. And I get that, because when somebody gives me an idea, I got to add to it. Always have another. Simon Peter always had a better idea. Then wash my hands and head as well. But Jesus said, a person who's been bathed all over doesn't need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray Him. That is what is meant when He said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, He put on His robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves aren't greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. This was Peter. You'll never wash my feet. What did Jesus do? He corrected him. He corrected him. Oh, you need to understand. I need to. And so when he got corrected, then Peter goes, well, then wash all of me, not just my feet. And Jesus is saying, oh, wait a minute here. You're not getting this. Well, I read this, and what I do when I read the Bible a lot of times, I try to really do what I've heard Pastor Tim do, what I've heard great teachers of the Word do for years. I try to make the application because there's something in that that's for us today. Jesus told him, you're not getting this right now, but you'll one day get it. And so if he was telling Peter that, then it's obvious for us that we ought to one day be able to get this. We ought to be able to get what he's talking about. And I look back on my life and I think, when and where and different times did I tell God no? Well, that's real easy. I can go right back to the start of Christian Ministries Church. In late 90s, early 2000s, I was driving all across the country on a bus, and I'd sit on the front of this bus and I'd listen to sermon after sermon after sermon that came right out of Christian Ministries. And I'd go back to my bunk, and on my bunk, I'd sit there and I'd type out the sermons word for word. And I was doing everything I could to get everything into me so that I could learn the message of Christian Ministries Church, because it was impacting my wife and I's life. We were learning how to stay married, and not just stay married, but actually enjoy being married. We'd come here to church and we'd sing at this church, not this building. It was back when y'all were on the other end of campus. And we'd sing there, and I'd go in this church. I'd, these people are all crazy and fake and weird. I don't get it. You know why? Because husbands actually sit by their wives here. I thought, that is so cool. And they'd hold hands, and that's weird. I thought you only did that before you got married. But people enjoyed each other. And you know, the pastor and his family would all sit on the front row. And that was just when there was two girls. And now they're still on the front row. And I just look back. I always thought, how are they doing? That's what I want out of my family. I want my family together. I want my family excited about the things of God. And maybe they're all fake, but whatever they're doing, we're going to do it. And so I'd go on that bus and I'd study and I'd read and I'd do that. Well, then jump forward a few years, and there was something impressing me that we needed to be a part of Christian Ministries. And so my wife and I talked about actually just packing up and moving down here. We're going to be a part of that because that's producing in people's lives. So the first time it was kind of fake, but then you guys just kept doing it. And we kept watching. I thought, nobody can fake that long. It's several years we watched it. And it was really cool. And we were like, we've got to duplicate that. But the more we prayed about it, we couldn't get released to move down here. And so I had a great idea. I knew God had said, you need to pastor Christian Ministries. And so I knew that, but I wasn't telling nobody because I knew Peter knew what he had said. I just had a better idea. So I went to Tim and said, if you'll start a church in Southwest Missouri, we'll be your first members. And you know what he said? Something kind of like Jesus would have said, no, that's not what we're doing. If you've ever worked with Tim and you have a great idea, you've heard, no, that's not what we're doing. And I thought, well, why not? He said, because it's not the vision I have. It's a vision that God's placed in your heart. And I didn't even tell him. How did he know that? And so the more we talked and the more we visited, I then thought, I can't do this. My wife told me when we got married, she said, let me just make one thing very clear. I did not marry a pastor. And I'm like, that's good, because I work at Kraft General Foods. So you're right, you didn't. And I was like, how am I going to tell my wife this? Because I know this is what needs to happen, and I don't know what to do. And oh, God, no, I can't. See, I recognize what Peter was saying. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to. And all of us have been there. And then the further we went along, my wife probably came up and said, you know, I know you've been fighting with this. And she kind of let me off the hook. And I said, yeah, we got to start this. I know. And I'm ready. And you're right. I didn't marry a pastor when we got married, but I'm married to one now. And now you go 14 years later and God's doing an amazing, amazing work. Amazing work in Southwest Missouri. Verse 10. A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet. That verse got me for a long time. See, only the feet to be entirely clean. Why did Jesus not listen to Peter? Because Peter had a great idea. Why did he not just wash all of them? Here's why. And I'm going to give you a symbolic reason that will make sense. Because the feet are what's in contact with the world. See, you're walking on the world. And what Jesus does is he separates us from the world. And so when he came in to wash the feet of the disciples, the point being was, you have a lot of work to do on your own. And you're clean. You're listening to what I'm saying. You're doing everything. But I need to take care of that contact with the world. And so I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash your feet. And when I got that, I was like, thank you, Lord. It's the point of contact that's continually messing us up. Come on, we're going to go to work tomorrow, and we took a shower, and we got all clean, and we read the word before we went there, and then someone says something they shouldn't have said. You need Jesus to wash your feet right then. That contact with the word, the correction. See, because that's going to make you dirty. Let's get cleaned up. Let's get cleaned up. And only Jesus can do that. Ephesians 5:25, last scripture for today. Husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault, perfect. How someone can think they're going to get anywhere without the church always amazes me. I love the church. I love the church. How do we get a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, holy and without fault? We daily need to understand we need our feet washed. Come on, we're walking right now on the curse. This wasn't God's intent. His intent was the garden. But sin dirtied it up. And we're walking every day on the curse. We're walking on the curse. The world is cursed. Bad thoughts, everything coming through these sources at work, at your neighborhood, on your screen, while you're at work, where you're at play. I mean, we daily are walking in a world that is cursed, and we need washed, and that we got to wash our mind with the word. That's our responsibility. Come on, we got to get after that. Get that sin off. But we've got to understand that Jesus, paying the price on the cross, washed so that we could walk a life of holiness and perfection. We could be that. God corrected us because he loves us. And today, we want to look good. Come on, you got up and washed all of you so you could come into church? I ironed my shirt. Then I sat down and got it all wrinkled. But I intended to look good today. I went and got my hair cut this week. I did everything. I shaved all of this, got it all down. I want to look good. Come on, y'all look good. I'm looking around. Some of y'all did. You had to do some work. But you did, and you look good. God corrects us because he loves us. And you know why he corrects us? He wants us looking good. He don't want us looking sin-stained. He wants us looking good. And what is good? He is. He's what's good. And so as I'm looking across here today, thank you for doing your part. Now let him wash your feet and do his. Did you get that today? I just think that's really, this should make you all feel loved. The spotless, sinless master bending over and washing the world off of you. Oh, that gives me them little holy bumps. He's still doing that today. And he'll do it for you. I know that each one of us have faced trials, tribulations, mess ups, things that happen. What I'm telling you is the sinless, without blemish Lamb of God is saying, I'll wash that off your feet. That contact with the, I'll wash that off your feet and I'll make you new. You can walk out of here. You can know that, that through Christ, we can walk in perfection. We can walk in perfection. Now we got work to do. Get that mind cleaned up. Get in that word. Come on, turn your eyes from that. Turn that off. You're not going to do that. But we have no excuse to keep saying, well, nobody's perfect. Come on, quit saying that. This week, I promise you, you'll hear one say, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. And I get that, but don't use that as an excuse to say no one can be. Because through Jesus, we can have perfection. That's our vision this year. Be holy as He is. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. Keep your heart in pursuit of Him. I want you to know today, as we close, I'm looking across an auditorium of perfection. Perfect. And not just because you're Christian ministries, but because of Jesus doing His part and us doing ours. And you put those things together and you can get a definition of holiness. Be holy as I'm holy. Come on, a holy generation. Here's the other cool thing. As you leave today and you go into your week, you're going to come up with somebody that you're going to go, they're not perfect. And they may not be because they may not know Jesus. Or they may know Jesus, but they haven't been taken care of getting washed up and taking care of their part. Remember the whole body? But Jesus set this whole example for them with the washing of the feet. Why? So we could go out and wash others' feet. Introduce them to Jesus. Introduce them. Come on, we got work to do. I was thrilled this morning. The first service this morning, I've been preaching here for 14 years. Well, maybe not, but 12. I've been getting to come since y'all were in that other building, and I've loved it. Once or twice a year, getting to come to Christian Ministry Church, it's one of the highlights of my Sundays. I love to come and brag on the Lord. I love that. And here's what I told them in this morning service. Obviously, y'all have taken that command and you've went out and washed some others' feet. Because this first service this morning was the biggest crowd I'd ever seen at first service. Praise God. This right here, you wouldn't be making it if you were still trying to be. We've got to continue to grow and go to the next level. And I know Pastor Tim says this all the time. It's not a building. It's what's on the heart of people. It's just a reflection. And I love that every time I'm here, I see the reflection of the Lord in God's people. Y'all are doing a great job. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for sitting under the word today. Would you stand with me? I thought about doing something real cheesy and just looking over at your neighbor and saying, you're perfect, but that might cause some problems. So you're perfect. But you might start looking at people through the eyes of Jesus because He loves us. He loves us. Praise God, He whoops us. He disciplines us. Don't despise that. Start saying, I'm going to endure this and I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to have some right living after it's done. We're going to be good. We're going to be good. And let's move to the next level. Father, I thank You today for Your word and how it changes. It changes us. Your word corrects us where we need corrected. God, I thank You today that You love us so much and that we can be perfect as You are imperfect. Lord, we get a better understanding of that today. And I pray that You would continue to help us to understand there are times we just need You to wash our feet. And Lord, there are times that we've got to clean ourselves up. God, if we can get both of those together, we'll be a great example for You day in and day out, and we'll see Your kingdom furthered. Thank You today for Christian Ministries Church, and thank You for Your word as it changes our lives and motivates us and equips us to go out and do the work You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.